Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Tim Dillon Show. Who's going to win this New York mayoral election? Will it be Zohran Mamdani? He's in the lead big time. But if you're a gambling man, go over to Kalshi.com, folks, and see what's up. What do the Kalshi betting odds have on Zohran Mamdani's 92.7% going to win?
94 right now.
94% going to win. Well, hey. Seems definitive. Did you see this Billie Eilish? You know what I call her? Silly Eilish. That's what I call her. Take that. Billie Eilish. You know Billie Eilish. She does the music where she's like, and that was her. That's literally a song I just played. From her latest album. So, Billie Eilish, it was a rich kid, grew up in LA, whatever, talented for sure. God bless her, give it to her. God love her. She's out here lecturing billionaires at the Wall Street Journal. Now, the reason why she's not lecturing millionaires is because she's a millionaire. Everyone hates billionaires. But by the way, hating billionaires, while a lot of the time justified, is the least risky thing you can do or say in public. Let me say that again. Saying bad things about billionaires is the least risky thing you can say or do in public. They used to have this comment about politicians that were pro-family. And they go, oh, what a controversial position, because obviously saying I believe in family is like not at all controversial. It might be now in certain parts of the country. The one I'm in, probably. But
is it a dog whistle when you say family?
But it's a pretty easy thing to go out there and say, I hate billionaires, I don't like billionaires. And I'm not even saying that she's wrong. It's the glazing, as the young ones would say, as the kids would say, the glazing of this, of Billie Eilish. How brave she was to, at the Wall Street Journal, she's getting an award. What is she getting an award for? Oh, that she gave a bunch of money to a food bank. She gave $11 million to a charity. In America, go and look up most charities, on average, what percentage of the donations go to the actual people? By the way, it's like 10% or less. So, but Billie Eilish, even though she meant well, what she did is she bought a bunch of Toyota Camrys for people that are in the charity business. And I'm not saying that it's wrong to donate to charity. This is, by the way, a lie. I love this. They go, but many reputable charities aim for at least 70 to 90% of funds that go directly to their charitable programs. That isn't true. There are a lot of charities where the overhead is so massive and the salaries that are paid, it's absurd. I'm not saying don't donate to charity. I'm saying, have a reasonable expectation, and you got to make sure you really donate to the right charity. But a lot of charities they have a lot of overhead. So what did she donate? $11
million?
$11.5 million to what? The food banks?
It's like food inequity.
Yeah, great.
Climate change.
Yeah, yeah. Climate change, donating to climate change. I mean, what are we doing? But whatever. The food thing I get. They're cutting off the benefits. People are going to be in the streets. Their little kids are going to be detoxing off sugar in the streets, many of them heavily armed. I don't love that. So I do appreciate Billie Eilish, but Billie Eilish gets up and does this little speech, and everybody's calling her, you know, a warrior for it. Give it up, Billie Eilish, everyone.
Love you all, but there's a few people in here that have a lot more money than me.
How lucky for you, Billie.
And if you're a billionaire, why are you a billionaire? No hate, but yeah, give your money away, shorties. Love you guys. Thank you so much.
Billie Eilish. Going after the elephant in the room, if you're a billionaire, why are you a billionaire? Why are you a millionaire? I mean, that's a fair question. Why are you a millionaire? But that's a harder question to ask. Billie Eilish has a lot more money than me. But I'm just saying, the glazing people for shit like this is kind of, it's like pathetic. Saying that she's like so brave for, you know, here's the thing too. These people get these awards and then they choose to like pop off. You know, it's kind of like, I don't know, how about before the award you say something? How about you say something before you get an award? You're up there with the award talking about billionaires give you money away, shorties. Billie Eilish telling people they should give their money away like she did to climate change. Billie Eilish donated her money to climate change, an $11.5 million donation to fight world hunger and climate change. Billie Eilish, friend of the show. No one's taking anything away for her. Stephen Colbert made an announcement on behalf of Billie Eilish.
Yeah, he announced it at the awards.
Oh, do we have him announcing her $11.5 million donation? Yep. By the way, can I tell a story from yesterday? Literally, here's what happened, because literally it's the same exact thing. I go to Erewhon with my friend. My friend is allergic to avocado, having grown up in California and has eaten it too much. So now he's allergic to avocado. By the way, people's personal weaknesses now, they display as some type of strength or like, oh, it's cool. Look at me. I had so much avocado. I can't even have anymore. It's ridiculous. I try to have the Gary Breckia keto smoothie. It's a phenomenal. Get the ingredients of the Gary Breckia. Now, Gary Breckia is a con artist and a criminal who has sold people on this longevity crap that you're going to live forever if you drink the his milkshake. But it's a nice taste, and it's low in sugar, and it's got the macros and the aminos and the Venezuelans. The standard smoothie includes coconut water, avocado, cauliflower, rice, raspberries, strawberries, blueberries, organic. No. Oh, yeah. The chocolate version. Perfect amino chocolate powder, cacao powder, almond butter, avocado, coconut milk, MCT oil, reishi, ashwagandha, avocado. So whatever. I go in there, and I get the Gary Breckia, and who, again, is, God bless him, but he's a complete con artist, a criminal. My doctor told me that. I get it, and then my friend is like, oh, I'm allergic to avocado. Stop getting me the Gary Breckia. By the way, it's like $20. It's like, okay. So then he goes, I want a peanut butter one. So I go, okay. So I go up to the guy at the register, and I say, give him a peanut butter smoothie. And he goes, you want to swap out one of the Breckias? And I go, yeah. And I go, does anyone get the Gary Breckia but me? He goes, all really in shape people and you. It's like, hey, it's Halloween. What is that? So they give us the two Breckias anyway. They don't realize that we were supposed to swap one of the smoothies with a peanut butter smoothie. I then take the two Breckias. I say to my friend, wait for the peanut butter smoothie. I'm going to go outside with these two. So they don't know that we're technically beating them on one smoothie and they don't know what's going on. I take the two Breckias outside. He gets his peanut butter smoothie. Now we have an extra Gary Breckia perfect amino smoothie called the Ultimate Human. We're driving around LA. We find a homeless guy at a bus stop. I said, come here. Do you want a smoothie? We have an extra smoothie from Erewhon. And it's the Gary Breckia. I told him, I said, this is not the most popular smoothie. Most people don't like it. People don't like the amino blend. They think it's chalky, whatever. I gave him the smoothie. He was very grateful. He came over to the car. We gave him the smoothie. Okay? And guess what? I'm not at the Wall Street Journal lecturing people. I'm doing it in the streets. I'm helping people in the actual street. A homeless guy at a bus stop has a perfect amino smoothie with low sugar because the maple syrup is keto and coconut whipped cream. That's what he's got. I'm not out there at the Wall Street Journal going, hey, billionaires, you're all evil, but me, Billie Eilish, a multi-millionaire, I'm great because I'm giving a bunch of money to the climate and to the, you know, to food. I go steal a smoothie from Irwan, Robin Hood style, and then I deliver it to a man who's homeless, houselessness, unhoused, experiencing housing insecurity at a bus stop and food insecurity. He's experiencing all of the insecurity. I go and give him a smoothie, ask for not a goddamn thing in return. The only person who saw that was God and was like, nice. Literally, he said that. So do we have Colbert?
Yeah.
Let's see if we can get Colbert here. Because, by the way, imagine the award that should have been given to me because my friend can't handle avocado because he ate it too much growing up in Southern California. His body turned against it. If that was the rules, I would not be able to eat ice cream, okay? But those are not the rules. Stephen Colbert.
I also have the privilege of breaking a little news to all of you tonight, and thank you, Billy, for allowing me to do this. This is extraordinary. Billie Eilish will be donating proceeds from her Hit Me Hard and Soft tour to support organizations, projects, and voices dedicated to food equity, climate justice, reducing carbon pollution, and combating the climate crisis. That donation, ladies and gentlemen, will be $11.5 million.
So what? So the fuck what?
That's wonderful.
So what? I gave a smoothie to a bum. Tim Dillon's here. Tim, thank you for letting me do this, Tim. Thank you for letting me do this. I appreciate it. Tim Dillon is donating proceeds from his Accepting Bribes tour to buy a smoothie at Irwan, the Gary Brecka, the ultimate human smoothie, the perfect amino choco revive smoothie featuring cauliflower, rice, and avocado. And he'll be giving it to a random homeless man who's sitting at a bus stop because his friend cannot handle avocado. So he'll be drinking a peanut butter smoothie. They will give the smoothie to a random homeless man in Los Angeles who is at a bus stop. He will not be accepting an award for it. He will not be lecturing any other people. He will just be doing the work in the streets. That's what he'll be doing. He'll be doing the work in the streets. Woman who claims to be out of food stamps films social media video of what she stole in the store and encourages others to do the same. By the way, I might agree with this woman. I think people need to get the food stamps. I believe we should not be giving money to the Ukraine, Israel, and we shouldn't be spending money fighting Venezuela. I mean, what the fuck's this? I'm going to talk about that. But can I tell a story? Every day when I was a tour guide in New York City, I was a tour guide on a double-decker bus. There was a place called the Food Emporium. Every day I would go in and I would steal a juice, an orange juice, a fresh squeezed orange juice, and drink it while I shopped at the store. Then a bald neo-Nazi guy who just got out of jail literally ratted me out to management. They got tax credits for hiring an ex-con, and he ratted me out to me. He became a rat. He was probably a rat in jail. He gets out of jail, and he rats me out because he catches me stealing the juice. This is after I'd done it for like 8 months. When I was in mortgages on Long Island, I used to eat at a deli in Melville called Suburban Eats. You would get a piece of pizza. The place you got the piece of pizza was a long way from where you would pay for it. And you'd wait on a line with all these people that were working in the mortgage industry, all these people. I would eat the slice of pizza before we got to the register. And then I would just buy the sandwich. I have stolen food for a very long time, a lot of my life. I am not against it morally or in any other way. Let's see what this woman got. What did she get?
Hi, you guys. I'm out of the store.
Yes.
So, They wanted $7 for this. Mind you, I don't have
what is that? What is that, queso? Can you close up on that? What is that? Is that a, what is that, some type of dip?
Butter bouillon?
Butter bouillon. Okay, that's something to, I guess, make like a sauce. All right, keep going here.
Mind you, I don't have food stamps anymore. They cut me off. So I only had $22 left in food stamps. So this is what I stole. Okay, they wanted $9 for this. I said, oh, I don't got $9.
Then she's they wanted seasonings.
Then they wanted $2 for this. They wanted, sorry, it's all fucked up because it's been in my purse.
I would have stolen $7. So much better shit than this. This is not a good haul at all. She's stealing seasonings and TikToks. This is embarrassing. Get her out of here. Get her out of here. How dare you call yourself a thief? I'm telling you, I cannot say enough about ShipStation. You know, this is a amazing way to handle the shipping needs of your growing e-commerce business. ShipStation makes it easy to automate shipping tasks and manage orders in one simple dashboard. Were you surprised to learn that ShipStation does so much more than just print labels? It's able to scale businesses faster. It's using robust automation and reporting. How does it feel knowing ShipStation's rate browser compares over 200 carriers to make sure you're always getting the best rates, up to 90% off? There's a reason why successful businesses use ShipStation. Automate your workflow. Save time. Reduce human error through an unlimited number of ways to automate the fulfillment process. Discounts up to 90% off rates on all major global carriers. Centralize your fulfillment operations. Deliver five-star customer service with industry-leading scalable features. 98% of companies that stick with ShipStation become customers for life. Upgrade to ShipStation today to get 60-day free trial. Imagine that 60-day free trial. Wow your customers and get rave reviews with cheaper, faster, better shipping. ShipStation.com. Use code Tim Dillon, T-I-M-D-I-L-L-O-N. There's no credit card or contract required, and you can cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com, T-I-M-D-I-L-L-O-N. We didn't cover this, and we actually should cover the guy who started the Palisades fire. A guy was arrested for starting this, and his name was, he's a 29-year-old Jonathan Rindernecht. And we are announcing the arrest of 29-year-old Jonathan Rindernecht on a criminal complaint charging him with maliciously starting what became the Palisades fire in January. So think about this for a minute. This guy burned down an entire neighborhood. He did billions of dollars of damage to a state. Malibu, Palisades, it's unbelievable. And by the way, what's the penalty for that? Like, to be honest, it kind of should be death, in my opinion. The amount of devastation that you wrought, you should probably be faced the death penalty. But anyway, the complaint alleges that Rindernecht started a fire in the Pacific Palisades on New Year's Day, a blaze that eventually turned into one of the most destructive fires in Los Angeles history, causing death and widespread destruction. Among the evidence that was collected from his digital devices was an image he generated on ChatGPT depicting a burning city. While we can, now, by the way, I'm dressing up like the Palisades fire for Halloween because it's funny. Like, I get it. It is depressing and sad, but I'm doing it because it's funny. And I didn't start it. And it's not hypocritical at all because literally, did anyone even die in that one? They're saying death, but the Altadena fire was very sad because it was a lot of lower income people. And that was very sad. But the Palisades fire, yes, had some sadness to it for sure. But the majority of those people had a little bit of money. How many people died in the Palisades fire? I'm still going to be it. Because I paid the costume designer. So I'm not going to...
12 confirmed deaths.
All right. Listen, folks, what about 9/11? How about that? What about 9/11?
2,977.
That's how many died in 9/11?
Yes.
Yeah, that's correct. All right. Okay. Among the evidence that was collected from the digital devices, right. So he went into ChatGPT and I guess he was like, generate an image of a city on fire. While we cannot undo the damage and destruction that was done, we hope his arrest and the charges against him bring some measure of justice to the victims of this horrific tragedy. Rindernecht's initial appearance is scheduled for today at 1:30. And this was not today, obviously. We're reading an older thing. Dude, what the fuck? I mean, this guy, did he actually? I bet he did, but how did he start it? When was the fire if he started it on New Year's? When did the fires start really? When was the Palisades fire? Let's listen to this judge or no, whatever this person is.
Burned, the defendant walked up the same trail from earlier that night to watch the fire and firefighters.
Seven on Your Side investigates the potential mistakes made in fighting the Palisades fire. The after-action report was just released. Hello, I'm Mark Brown.
I'm Michelle Fisher. You're watching Eyewitness News at 5, live on ABC 7, Hulu, and wherever you stream. That breaking news now, a 29-year-old Uber driver facing serious charges in connection with the deadly Palisades fire. The feds say that Jonathan Rindernecht lit a brush fire on New Year's Day. LA Fire says it put it out, but then days later, it reignited and grew into one of the most destructive wildfires in our state's history.
How wow. could this have happened? Seven on Your Side right. investigative reporter Kevin Osbeck looking into the missteps and failures by the city and county of LA. And we begin with Eyewitness News reporter Sophie Flay with new insight about the man in custody tonight. Sophie.
A massive investigation by the ATF and now a criminal complaint revealing shocking details about how the Palisades fire started and who is being accused of intentionally lighting the spark.
Why did he do it?
29-year-old Jonathan Rindernecht has been arrested and charged in connection for igniting a flame that eventually turned into
a deadly... By the way, pause it for a minute. Driving Ubers, it got to be a terrible job. You know? That's got to be a tough one. Like driving Uber all day he probably thought about starting this fire for months. He probably thought I should go to a rich area and start a fire. Now, I don't know what his beef was with the Pacific Palisades. I should be burning it. The amount of meetings I've had with these people, I should be burning. I mean, I just had a lovely lunch with an agent at CAA who I love and enjoy. You know, I've talked to this woman multiple times and I sat and we had a lunch and she's working on a project. We're trying to make a movie. And I literally sat down. I've spoke to this woman multiple times, like multiple times. I sent her cheese for her birthday. Okay. It rotted outside of her house because she was in Aspen or whatever, doing whatever they do. But I sent her cheese for her birthday. I sit down to the lunch. She goes, now tell me about yourself. I mean, it's like, I mean, it's unreal, unbelievable. I sit down for the lunch. She goes, now tell me a little about yourself. Who are you? Tell me a little bit about yourself. I go, I've been in the thing for 5 years. What do you mean? This is one of the top 25 shows usually in the world, this thing that we're doing here.
Do you feel a responsibility with the platform you have? Do you feel a responsibility? Does the responsibilities... Are there responsibilities that you feel, the platform, the platforming of platforms? Do you feel a response? Who are you? Well, hi. Who are you? Where are you? Where are you? Hi. Where are you? Who are you? Do you feel, I really like to get to know people. And what exactly, what are you? What are you? What are you?
People are poking me.
What are you made of? What is this? Is this fabric? Is this fabric? Like a big laboo-boo. You're like a big laboo-boo in person. Why do you wear the glasses? What is that? So interesting.
I should be starting the Palisades. I should every day be going through the Palisades with a gas can. By the way, the amount, the abuse I take in this town. And she's a lovely woman and she's very good at her job. So please don't be offended by that. Please keep doing things for me. Please keep making me tens of dollars. But I should be going through the Palisades, by the way, with the gas can. But I'm not. You know why? Because I'm a good person. Actually, I am. So I'm out there. And so this Uber driver in Florida, how did these people fuck you over? I had a good pilot. A good pilot. And I attached a great writer and I had Adam McKay producing it years ago. And fucking nothing. And I should be running around. Sam Levinson called me and goes, can you do a roll in Euphoria? It's 9 seconds. You'll be on your hands and knees like a pig and people will be spitting on you or something. Why am I not burning the Palisades fire? I said, thanks, I'm going to pass. I'm not flying there from the Hamptons to get on my hands and knees in Euphoria and have people spit on me like a pig. But I appreciate it. Can you write, if there were 10 lines, I would do it. There was 4 lines. I go, give me an extra 6 lines. I'll get on my knees. People could spit on me like a pig. Why am I not walking through the Palisades with a gas can? Why is this Uber driver doing it? Let's watch a little more of this, please. Thank you.
Palisades fire in January. He's accused of starting the Lockman fire 12 minutes into the start of the new year on January 1st. He was working as an Uber driver the night before, according to the federal complaint.
That fire started on January
1st. By the way, 1st. I asked my agent this. How do I get in this Kirk gag order? This Charlie Kirk case gag order is going to make people's careers. This is because Candace keeps saying she's going to violate it. Is she in it? How do I get in this? You better email someone and try to get me in the Charlie Kirk gag order. And where's that furry? That furry disappeared, Lance Twiggs. But we're going to stay on this Palisades thing. I just have ADD. But I don't know where that furry is. They should be going door to door looking for that furry. Keep it on the Palisades. Let's see what this guy has to say.
And it smoldered underground for about a week until on January 7th, heavy winds caused this underground fire to surface and spread above ground.
We get it. Why did he do it?
What became known as the Palisades fire.
Yeah, yeah.
After dropping passengers off, he parked his car at the bottom of a hiking trail.
Those passengers, it was probably me. What if it was me? I was in the Palisades that morning having a breakfast burrito, I swear to God. It's very possible I was the last thing in that guy's car. Keep going.
According to the complaint, he called 911 to report the fire, fled the scene, but returned, taking videos of the flames.
I can tell you ATF has determined that the fire was ignited with an open flame.
Rindernecht was living in the Palisades at the time, but was taken into custody in Florida, where he's currently residing, according to U.S. Attorney Bill Asaley. The origin of the fire was not far from where Rindernecht was living at the
Even
time.
Even arsonists are leaving L.A. That's how bad it's getting. That's how mismanaged this state is. Arsonists. This was a great state for arsonists at one point. The fires start and they spread. And the wind takes them. The devil winds. Those Santa Ana winds take the fires and they spread it. And they start these fire hurricanes. But even arsonists don't feel safe with the policies of Gavin Newsom. It's insane how bad it's gotten.
Well, it's Highlands. That property now destroyed. One neighbor calling the act twisted and still looking for more answers.
Seems like we understand the origin of the January 1st fire. I think we want to know more about why.
Oh, God, I hate them all. Get them out of here. Get them out of here. You watch 1 minute of these people, you'll start a fire there. Get them out. Where's this furry? Where's Lance Twiggs? Find this furry. The Kirk furry is gone. Tyler Robinson, the suspect in the Kirk assassination, was dating this furry. This furry is now disappeared. The furry is completely gone. Now, some people don't believe the whole furry angle, but Lance Twiggs was wearing that sloth hoodie onesie thing. But some people say that private security types, Fed types, put a fur bed in that apartment they were sharing to make people think that Lance Twiggs was more of a furry than he was. What is a fur bed? Look it up. Because people are saying that a fur bed might have been planted in the apartment to make this person seem like a furry. A bed, well, maybe Google a bed for a furry because we're finding a lot of things that are for pets, but that's not what we want. We want humans who think they're animals. A bed for a human who thinks it's an animal, not a bed for a pet. Google's getting confused. Yeah, for humans who are part of the furry fandom, options include large, oversized human dog beds made of faux fur. That's what was in this apartment that Tyler Robinson was sharing with Lance Twiggs. I believe. That's what was reported was in the apartment. Now, I want to know all the information on Lance Twiggs. Where is Lance Twiggs? They're saying that this furry is either in the witness protection. The transgender lover of Charlie Kirk's alleged killer has seemingly vanished from his hometown 6 weeks after the political assassination that shook the country. Lance Twiggs has been on the down low since his boyfriend Tyler Robinson allegedly shot the Turning Point USA co-founder dead and then sent Twiggs a string of text messages confirming to the slaying. Twiggs has steered clear of his $1,800 a month love nest on the outskirts of the isolated desert oasis of St. George. I bet they've gagged everyone in this case. How many people are gagged in this case? Gag orders. Now, also watch if they do this. Now, I don't think they've done this yet, but they could also put something on this case called SAMS, S-A-M-S. That's called Special Administrative Measures. And that's what they did in the Boston bombing that prevented any real information from coming out. It was carefully curated information that came out about the Boston bombing. And the journalist Michelle McPhee from Boston wrote a book that basically credibly put out the hypothesis that the FBI had a prior relationship with the Tsarnaev brothers, and they didn't want that getting out. And they had potentially recruited the older brother and or both brothers to be confidential FBI informants. And they put special administrative measures, SAMs, on that trial to keep the information from leaking out. Now, if you see that in this Kirk thing, a lot of people are, and myself included, are going to go, hey, what the F? My friend is taking Nutrafol, and his hair has never looked better. It's the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand, trusted by over 1.5 million people. You can feel great about what you're putting in your body since Nutrafol hair growth supplements are backed by peer-reviewed studies and NSF content certified, the gold standard and third-party certification for supplements. See thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding in just 3 to 6 months with Nutrafol. For limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code Tim Dillon, T-I-M-D-I-L-L-O-N. Find out why Nutrafol is the best-selling hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code Tim Dillon. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code Tim Dillon. 100% pure nicotine, always tobacco-free. Lucy breakers are nicotine pouches with an extra surprise. Each pouch holds a capsule that can be broken up to release extra flavor and hydration. Set yourself up with a subscription and have Lucy delivered straight to your door. I mean, I love Lucy. Everybody I know is using it. Some people are on the medium and some people are on the lesser. Let's level up your nicotine routine with Lucy. Go to lucy.co/Tim and use promo code TIM to get 20% off your first order. Lucy has a 30-day refund policy if you change your mind. Again, that's lucy.co and use code Tim, T-I-M, to get 20% off. And here comes the fine print. Lucy products are only for adults of legal age, and every order is age verified. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Because I don't know what went on here. You know, I don't think anyone does. I think, you know, Candace Owens is obviously famously doing a big investigation. She's turning up some weird things for sure. But I don't think anybody knows what's really going on. And apparently, I guess they have a lot of evidence maybe about this guy, Tyler Robinson. They're going to put together a lot of this evidence, but I don't, you know, we haven't seen a ton of it yet, right? We saw a bunch of text messages that looked odd. And then Lance Twiggs, Tyler Robinson's furry boyfriend, has disappeared from the public eye. People speculate that they're in the witness protection program. And I like the whole family. I think they got the whole family to be in the witness protection program. This is the guess. And we'll just have to. Oh, is this Robinson's court appearance?
It said right here that he had an appearance on Monday. But
do they ever show him?
Not usually.
They don't show it. Here's what's bothering everyone about this. I'll tell you what it is right now. Let me break it down for you folks, please. Okay? It's Halloween. Here's what's happening. When I grew up, every crime was a salacious tabloid festival. The media, tabloid media, shows like A Current Affair and Access Hollywood and Extra and all that stuff. And those shows still exist, but a lot of them don't, but versions of them do. And certainly there's an entire media on the internet. It's as intense as ever. And journalists didn't become better people, right? They still want to get clicks. Clicks are the new views. And so they want to be exploitative and, you know, they want to get the scoop and the story, and they want to, you know, they would be chasing down family members in parking lots. They'd be camping out on people's lawns. They'd be climbing in the window. They'd be trying to get an interview with the maid. The O.J. Simpson trial, the spectacle of all that. Lacey Peterson, any of the stuff that you remember always attracted so much attention. Where was that energy with Thomas Matthew Crooks? Where is that energy here? Where is the energy of the press? Truly asking, curious. Why is the press not more concerned? Don't they find it fascinating the guy who tried to shoot Trump has no digital footprint, which is like, by the way, almost weirdly impossible for what, a 22-year-old or however old he was? How old was he, 23? Whatever the age was, it's insane to think this guy had no digital footprint. It's odd. It's also odd that, how old?
20.
Yeah, 20. Even more puzzling that he had no digital footprint. It's also weird when you see this. This is a salacious story. Number one, it's a horrible story. A guy was murdered. Number two, he was murdered by this guy who apparently had all the political opinions anyone can have, which is not impossible, by the way. People go radicalized from the right to the left, to the right, to the left. This is not an uncommon thing. He's dating somebody who's, I guess, a furry, or it may be transitioning, or whatever the case may be. We don't know really anything about the guy's family other than they were MAGA people. But again, the press has shown very little interest in finding out more because I guess, quote unquote, they don't want to jeopardize the trial. Where was all of this when I grew up? By the way, where was the press caring about the integrity of the jury pool when I grew up? Every fucking news person was watching O.J. Simpson's van. They played the O.J. Simpson verdict in my fifth grade classroom. That's how big of a fucking deal it was. They put the O.J. Simpson verdict on in my fifth grade classroom. Everybody watched O.J. in that Bronco. The world stopped and everybody watched it. Every office, where was the press caring about the integrity of the jury? Where was the press? All the press has ever done in this country, outside of inflaming divisions and creating, hysteria, is cover salacious crimes. I mean, this is everything they've ever done. This is why Court TV exists. This is why you had all of those legal shows. This is why you had a lot of tabloid shows. All they've ever done is hunt down people that were connected to the case, that knew the guy. If somebody went to kindergarten with somebody accused of a crime, they were on television when I grew up. They were sitting with Sally, Jesse, Raphael. I'm telling you, Oprah, all of these people, they had the high-end ones, the low-end ones. It was the job of the American media to essentially unearth all of the details about the case and parade them for all to see on television and in print. Magazines, JonBenet Ramsey. You know how many times I stood in a grocery store and somebody was standing there with a National Enquirer, and it's tragically JonBenet Ramsey's face was on the cover of it? How many different theories they were cooking up, and where is that? What happened to that? Did all of these people suddenly develop a conscience? How many people, can we find this out? How many people are in this Kirk gag order, which I really want to get in, and I'm going to email my agent and try to ask to get in. Put me in the Kirk gag order. I work so fucking hard. They've gagged a lot of people that cannot speak about the case at all. Tons and tons of people. So what's interesting to me, and that's, I think, one of the reasons, by the way, that people feel weird about this. Thomas Matthew Crooks, Tyler Robinson, the furry. What people don't understand is why there's such a lack of information, why there's such a lack of interest, why there's such a voluminous evidence in a gag order that could impact thousands in the Robinson case. The man accused of assassinating Charlie Kirk had a court appearance Monday where lawyers discussed a voluminous amount of evidence, thousands of potential witnesses, and the judge pledged to ensure a fair trial. Tyler Robinson appeared virtually during the hearing, a change that was requested by the defense prior to Monday's hearing. The 22-year-old faces charges in the September 10th shooting at Utah Valley University, including aggravated murder, obstruction of justice, felony discharge of a firearm causing serious bodily injury, witness tampering, and commission of a violent offense in the presence of a child. It is also possible Robinson faces federal charges. On Monday, Catherine Nestor and the rest of Robinson's defense team entered their formal appearance to represent him. There is a substantial amount of discovery in this case, Your Honor. It is voluminous, to say the least. Prosecutors also discussed a gag order that 4th District Court Judge Tony Graff had entered in the case, which could create problems. It forbids anyone associated with the case from speaking to news media. There are a number of witnesses that have yet to be identified that will likely be used in the state's case. This occurred in front of 2,000 or 3,000 students at Utah Valley University. So we're in the process of identifying those witnesses, so those witnesses are presently unknown right now. Judge Graff said the gag order was designed to prevent problems associated with pretrial publicity. All right, so we get it, but it does seem interesting how people seem to be closing ranks around the story. And I'm not saying the story is inherently suspect. I do think there's a lot of weird shit that happened. And weird shit could be a red herring, or it could be weird shit that opens a door to even weirder shit. With Thomas Matthew Crooks, again, the lack of interest, the fact that we're not getting tons and tons of information from the usual sources makes people a bit skeptical. It makes people go, wait, what's going on? Again, it's just not something I'm used to. I'm used to, you know, the type of coverage that you would see. I mean, remember the Covington kids who banged the, I mean, obviously there was a political angle to that. I mean, there's a political angle to this. But the Indian guy, Native American guy, like standing in the Covington kid's face and the kid was grinning at him. Does anyone remember the press not being interested in that? That's all we heard about. It was like all we heard about. And then this, again, doesn't seem to be getting that much attention. The Covington thing, far less consequential. No one died. Far less consequential. And the media interest in that, incredibly high. The media interest in this seems relatively low for the level of severity of this crime, and then that it exposes a lot of weird fault lines in not only the country and how people are processing these events, but also within the Republican Party itself. You think they'd be more interested in that, at least that angle. They've been mildly interested in it, but not nearly as interested as you would think they are. So it just is going to be a matter of, like, where does all of this go? We don't really know. TimDillonComedy.com for all the live dates. We have a great interview right now with we did a very serious interview here with the great Cheryl Hines. And what I really want to do is always present kind of a serious and introspective side of myself and my guests. It's the most important thing to me that we treat people that come in here and their stories with the respect it deserves, and we allow them the space to, you know, really present themselves. And that's why I try to be on my game and they come in on their game. So I want to present now a kind of very serious interview where we really look at the things in life that matter. And by the way, we haven't even talked about this Venezuela. We're going to get to that. There's nothing to talk about yet. I guess we're just bombing Venezuela because Maduro sells drugs or something. Who cares? Whatever. We're just going to bomb Venezuela now. We killed a bunch of fishermen. And now we're going to bomb Venezuela. We blew some fishing boats up because they had, I don't know, they had blow on them or something. And now we're going to bomb Venezuela. All right, folks. Anyway, happy Halloween. Now a very serious and respectful interview with Cheryl Hines. You're getting 25% off Helix mattresses. Number one, they're the best mattresses on the market. I have them in my house, and people that come and stay, they go, what are these mattresses? They're in all the guest rooms. Helix is number one. They are the best. Mattress shopping is one of the most awkward, strange, and unnecessary things. If you go to helix.com, it is so easy to find out the type of sleeper you are. You take a very short quiz. They tell you the type of mattress that's great for you. You know, I mean, everybody sleeps better on these mattresses because they have a custom mattress for you that is perfect after you find out exactly what the problems are. Are you a side sleeper? Do you sleep on your back? Do you sleep hot? Do you sleep cold? Do you wake up in the middle of the night, snoring, back pain, sleep apnea? What is the issue? I'm telling you, helix.com/TimD, 25% off. helixsleep.com/TimD. helixsleep.com/TimD. Make sure you enter our show name after checkout so they know that we sent you. 25% off. helixsleep.com/TimD. Armslist.com is America's firearms marketplace. We support and defend the right of the people to keep and bear arms. It's our Second Amendment. Armslist.com has been in the fight for the Second Amendment rights, battling the Brady campaign and their cronies since their initial assault in 2013. Emerging victorious, armslist.com is not only at the forefront of our fight for your rights, it's your go-to platform to buy, sell, and trade firearms, ammo, optics, and more locally, or tap into their nationwide network of firearms dealers. For a limited time, ArmsList is extending an exclusive discount to Tim Dillon Show listeners. Head to armslist.com and use promo code TIM to get your first month of premium membership for just 99 cents. Join the fight and come get what they want to take right now at armslist.com. Obviously, we'd love if we lived in a world where nobody was ever violent and nobody was going to come into your house and, you know, take things you like or do harm to you and your family. We don't live in that world. And a lot of the politicians in the state I'm currently in are doing nothing to make sure that we get closer to that world. So you might have to take some of it on yourself. Go to armslist.com. They have a great offer for our listeners. If you use the coupon code TIM, get your first month of premium membership for just 99 cents. That's armslist.com. Cheryl Hines, the book is Unscripted. It comes out everywhere, 11/11. You can pre-order now. What the hell is going on with these vaccines, Cheryl? What's up? What is happening? Are people being mean to you in Hollywood?
I would say people have a lot of feelings.
People have a lot of feelings.
Yes. But I love, like, this article just came out, and people were saying, I can no longer be friends with her, but don't print my name because I don't want to hurt her feelings. And it's like, that's weird. Okay.
It's very catty.
Yeah, it's pretty catty.
It's childish.
It's childish, a little judgmental, let's be honest.
It's a little judgmental.
But I guess, you know. That's what this town is known for.
Have you had anyone stand by you?
Yes, yes. Lots of people standing by me.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's good. I mean, it made some of my friendships stronger. And
yeah.
And then some just, you know, some people.
Did you have any big blow up fights? You don't have to say with who.
Yeah.
Did people call you and start screaming?
Well, I would say right before Bobby endorsed Trump, I had a few passionate calls.
Right.
Yeah. Which is fine. And I was glad that they did, you know, because I would rather somebody call me and tell me how they feel than, you know, tell a journalist, this is how I feel, but I don't want anyone to know.
Did anybody in the industry call you and go, this is not a great look?
No. I mean, well, you know, besides the other actors?
Well, I don't know. People that work with you, does anyone have any of your relationship changed in that regard?
Well, you know, people don't openly call me and say right. I'm never going to work with you again. So I don't know. But the flip side of it, I have had a lot of people call me and say, I want to work with you. And I mean, a lot of people have moved out of L.A. to work in other cities.
Why would they leave L.A.? It's so good. What's wrong with these people who left L.A.? What's wrong with them? What's not to like?
What, it's going perfectly here.
Yeah.
Everything's going right on track. I don't know. You know, it's like, I mean, this town is definitely going through a renaissance of sorts.
Sure.
Say. So
that's what I say. That's the word I use. I say it's going through a renaissance.
A renaissance. And I think it's hopefully soon going to sort of blossom.
Well, sure.
Because right now it feels a little like people are, well, it feels a lot like people are struggling. They're trying to figure out a way to work, you know, make new content, and you know, work on new productions. But
what do you think about D.C.? Do you like it?
I do like D.C. I like it. It's a very beautiful town. It's a beautiful city. It's different to drive around and see national monuments that, you know, they're gorgeous, and they, at night, they're lit so beautifully, and it's a different, of course, it's a completely different world there.
Yes. What do you think about the war with Venezuela? Are you excited about that? That one, I don't know how that one's going to go. I hope that one's quick.
I don't know too much about that one.
Right. Yeah. I don't either. I just read we were doing it this morning. But... Do you ever say to yourself, I wish I wasn't the wife of a controversial guy?
I found myself saying that. You know, I definitely went through that when Bobby started running for president. It was hard. It was challenging, right? Because I wasn't quite ready. I didn't think I was ready to sort of see what was on the other side of the door, because I had spent so many years building this career. This all I've ever wanted to do was act, and so, you know, when you wake up one day, because when I met Bobby, he was not that controversial.
He was doing the environmental stuff.
Yeah,
and everybody liked him.
Yeah,
because he was just talking about
clean
the stuff
water.
They put in oatmeal, right?
Well, he's still talking about
and
the stuff they
people
put in oatmeal.
In L.A. like that.
Yeah, they like
if
clean
you
water.
Go up to somebody in L.A. and you go, look what's in that oatmeal. They love it.
Well, that's why some of what's going on is really...
weird.
Weird, because, yes, L.A., and what I like about a lot of people that live here, they do care about what they eat. They want to eat
they
clean.
They want to look good.
They want to look good.
They want to look good.
Yeah, so they eat right.
That's right.
So they don't want a
There's
lot
There's a
lot
of fatties in other states. Like fat people. Jeez. But in L.A., there's less of that.
Yeah, people are tight and right here. They're like...
That's right.
Yeah.
So if you're fat here, you better have a lot of talent.
Have we even talked about that we're Beauty and the Beast?
Well, yes, we are Beauty and the Beast. And you look, you are a stunning beauty.
Thank you.
And in D.C., there's a lot of ugly people. How do you handle that? Because you meet these other political spouses, and a lot of them are monsters.
You know what? DC has turned it up. They've turned up with the glamour, and I mean the women are bringing it. So it's no longer you know walk into.
They don't look like Barbara Bush anymore. They're hotties.
They're
well, because everyone's fit now.
Yeah,
your husband's making everyone do push-ups and
pull-ups,
sit-ups.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, so people are on board and they are looking good. And so that's what I was saying. That's what's strange about LA, because you would think that they would really embrace that. You know, make America healthy again. They hate that because it's a version of make America great again. So they hate that. They hate everything about it. Because of that reason only. Yet, you would think that they would be very happy about Bobby getting rid of arsenic and lead that's in baby formula. You know?
Right.
You would think that they would be happy about him getting...
Well, a lot of people in L.A., in fairness to them, adopt children from all over the world. So those children, their systems are weaned on different things that can handle different things.
They can handle.
They're not, it's not like, if you get a baby from a, you know, they buy the baby from another country and that baby can handle.
I wish this was vodka, but it's just water.
Right.
Right.
Do you get nervous when you talk to people in the media like myself? Do you get nervous when you go on the political media circuit and you talk to people like me?
No, I don't get nervous. I don't get nervous, but it is different now that I, you know, that my husband's in the administration. It's, you know, you feel a little more of a responsibility to you want to toe the line.
Right.
I don't want to, but you can say whatever you want.
I can say what I want.
Yeah. You can say whatever you want.
Who do you like over there? Do you like this J.D. Vance? What do you think about him?
I do like J.D. Vance. The thing is, I know the people on a personal level.
Right.
Right. So I know them more from just hanging out with them at an event and really sort of talking and, you know, having conversations. He's a funny person.
Do you ever get like nervous about how high profile you are and Bobby is with the amount of hate in the country, the division people are? Very hateful. They make threats. Mm-hmm. They behave like monsters, like beasts.
Like beasts.
Do you ever feel that's, are you ever like, this is, I just want to go home and.
You know, I definitely felt like that when he was running for president. That's when I really felt that. I felt I was so concerned about his safety, and I talk about it a lot in my book, Unscripted, because of course his uncle was assassinated, his father was assassinated.
The Kennedy curse? Do you think that's real?
I don't think that's real. I think that it's a big family, and perhaps sometimes people take unnecessary risks.
Right.
Yeah. So I would say, you know, I'm generalizing, but they're kind of risk takers, you know, living big, full lives. So I don't know.
Do you enjoy being a Kennedy? Is it fun? Are there expectations that come with it?
Well, you know, it's probably going to, it's not that exciting to say no, but when I married Bobby, it wasn't like, it's not like this country is, you know, loving the Kennedys.
Right.
And looking up to them.
No, yeah, at that point it was not. It was a dynasty kind of in decline a little bit.
Your words.
Yeah.
That's right. So it wasn't, I didn't feel like, whoa, I'm a Kennedy and now I'm going.
It was almost like, oh, I'm a Kennedy.
I'm a Kennedy.
Well, I'm a Kennedy now. It wasn't like, whoa.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, I kept my name.
At least you're not a Bush. Those people are shot. What are you looking forward to now? What's coming up? Other than this book, you're going to go on a book tour.
Yes, I've been doing a lot of press. I've been going on a book tour, which has been really fun.
Of course,
it's
now. Obviously, you're doing serious shows like mine. But do you ever have fun with it? Do you ever go do some like talk to some not?
You know, I just talked to Bill Maher for a long time.
Wow,
I drank too much. I mean, he was very high. And it was fun because I like
Bill.
He's
a fun guy.
Yeah, I like him. I mean, we really were doing some spit takes, just like he was making me laugh while I was drinking. And so I loved that. So I did, you know, I did some press on the East Coast, before I came out here I wouldn't say I was talking to comedians by any means.
Right.
Out there but really, interesting people and great interviewers and then I come here and it, like, it's so fun to be here talking to you, looking at your beautiful face. Yeah.
Do you ever feel if you have a disagreement with something the administration's doing, do you feel pressured not to talk about it?
Yes, I would say so, but I never have in the past, right? Never been a part of my, you know, social media.
You're not a political person. You're an entertainer.
No. So I've never, you know, spent the morning angry and tweeting out to people, this is what you should think and this is what you should do. Right. And I'm so upset. And I hope everyone sees how upset I am.
Right.
Because that's something about me. And,
yeah.
I just haven't been that person. So I don't feel pressure to, you know, not say anything negative about it.
Right.
It's just not who I am.
Right. It's not, it hasn't been your presence.
Right.
You're an entertainer. You entertain people.
Yeah.
Yes. Do you think you'll repair those friendships that you might have lost?
You know, I think some of them have, you know, I can look at them and say, I appreciate that person and for the time that I had with them.
Yes.
You know? Do I want to play pickleball with one of them now? No, because it's everybody's sort of moved on into different worlds.
Do you think Bobby won the vaccine argument? Because I think he did. It feels like he did.
Well, it does. You know, this is the problem, Tim. There's no winning or losing the argument, but just that he is actually getting the conversation going.
Well, there was a lot of people that have been injured by that vaccine.
Well, that's...
And everyone who keeps getting it keeps getting COVID.
By the way, this is what I had a lovely conversation with the women on The View, because if the vaccines are...
No one has ever had a lovely conversation on The View. Not one time, but go on, yes.
If the vaccines are...
Well, they get it every day. You know, those women get vaccinated every day on The View. That's why many of them are the way they are. Every day they come in and they get a booster, the whole group. The whole group gets a booster,
But I was saying, you know, there is a vaccine injury compensation program that has paid out $5.4 billion to vaccine injuries, but people probably haven't heard about it. And that doesn't even include COVID vaccine injuries. That's a different program altogether. So, I mean, it just seems like, can we start there and say, hey, $5.4 billion being paid out to people that have proved it in court, that's a problem.
Right.
Maybe we could do better with the vaccines. Maybe they could be safer. You know, and so Bobby is saying that, but some people don't even want to hear that, or they don't want to agree with it, but those are just facts, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not, you know, I'm not. Those are just black and white facts.
And, you know, people just don't want to. They don't want to have any type of discussion about it.
They really don't. Why do you think they don't?
Well, I think people tend to have a religiosity to their belief system,
mm-hmm.
and they don't want it questioned or challenged at all.
Which is, I think, you know, it's one thing, yeah, if you are talking about religion and it's like, that's this is the way I was raised, this is what I believe, but we're talking about health. You know what I mean? Why is there, why would feelings be so involved in health?
Just a friend's mother got a vaccine and had a stroke 48 hours later. And we all didn't care. We hated her. But but there's probably a correlation between that.
Right. So why can't someone say, this was my experience, this is what happened, and can we look at it? But instead, what a lot of people are feeling is, how dare you even say that?
Well, that's the problem.
That's the problem. So, yeah, is Bobby winning the vaccine argument? I mean, he's definitely bringing it to the forefront, saying there's a problem, and we're trying to fix it.
What is your favorite Disney movie? Is it Beauty and the Beast? Which one do you really like?
Finding Nemo.
Oh, that's the one with the fish.
That's Disney.
That's Pixar.
What is it?
Well, it's Disney, Pixar, DreamWorks. I mean, it's all the same.
Oh, okay.
It's a monopoly.
Is it Disney? Okay. I really liked that one.
I liked the one. What was the one about the non-binary raindrop that just came out? There's one that the characters like are a non-binary raindrop.
I think it was called Elemental.
Yes.
Oh,
that's my favorite
true?
One.
Oh,
it's about a raindrop who's is non-binary, and I think that's good.
That's good. You don't need to label people.
Well, not if you're a raindrop.
You don't need to label
raindrops.
Do you
like Palm Beach? I love it.
It's very beautiful there.
It's beautiful and everyone's rich. What's the problem?
There's no problem. It's really beautiful.
Let's be honest, it's nice.
It is. It's very civilized.
I think it is. That's what I like about it. A lot of pink Rolls Royces, tuna tartare.
A lot of tuna tartare.
So in closing, because you've got this book and you talk, you tell the people about your issues with being now a political person, even though you don't want to be.
I talk about, just like my experiences and going from Tallahassee, Florida to LA to getting on this show and being in films and movies to my husband.
Do you ever miss Tallahassee?
Yeah, I love Tallahassee.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love Tallahassee and all
the
people.
Do you ever say to yourself, you have a kind of a complicated life, but you'd rather be in Tallahassee, kind of just
taking it easy, just away
taking
from
it
all
easy.
Of this.
And living in a trailer and, you know, smoking meth.
living the good life. I miss Tallahassee, but I love I love the life that I have. I like that there's never a dull moment. I don't know what's going to happen next.
Right.
I meet fascinating people. I've worked with amazing people, and now I am learning a lot of new things every day.
Yeah.
I didn't set out to learn, but now that I'm here and I'm doing it.
When you come back to LA, are people nice to you?
Yeah, people have been nice to me. I mean, I haven't really gone out.
Right.
Although Bobby and I went to, this was a while ago, I think he was still running. We went to a restaurant that we love. This woman, we were sitting in the, we got back in the car to leave, and this woman gets up and runs out to the sidewalk and looks in the car and says, "Fuck you."
Whoa.
And then we watched her march back into the restaurant and sit down, you know, with her date. And Bobby looked at me and said, "What did you do to her?"
I
said,
"Oh, that's fun."
I go, "No, I think that's for you."
Yeah.
But yeah, I think to people like that, they don't really, they don't understand sort of the comedy that they're bringing when they come up, when they make it a point to march up and say something awful.
I have friends that I have disagreements with.
Yeah.
We all do.
Yeah.
We all have to be adults.
Yeah.
And live in a world where people feel differently than we do.
Yeah. And say, and just agree to disagree and say, it's okay. You can think like that, even though you're wrong.
Yeah.
But then, and then let's go out and eat. Well, I have some friends that I can do that with and some friends that they'll never talk to me again. I have a few friends that
really?
Oh yeah.
Never again.
Well, I'm assuming, I mean, I had one friend that I would talk to almost, you know, every other day. And then the night before the election, I called this person and I said, no matter what happens tomorrow, life is going to go on. You're going to still love your kid. You're going
right.
to love your husband. You're going to find joy. There's a great life out there. And I never heard from her again.
Whoa. I know who that is, but I'm not going to say it. But that's unfortunate.
It is.
It is unfortunate.
Yeah, it is unfortunate. But then, you know, you just have to take a step back and say, oh, okay, she was meant to be in my life for a certain time.
Yeah.
And I got to enjoy her friendship. And now we're going in different
directions. Just because you had a good friend who now hates you doesn't mean that that friendship wasn't valuable for the time you had it.
Completely agree.
100%.
I completely agree. So 100%. We had, so, you know, you just spend time thinking about what that person brought to my life and the fun I had with her. And that, you know, I mean, we went through, you know, 30 years together.
That's big.
Yeah.
That's crazy to throw it from my friend just threw a friendship away, a 30-year friendship over politics.
With you?
No. But her, she had a friend and they disagreed over politics.
And said, that's it.
And, can't and talk she to was like, I we can't, you know, and I'm like, it's such a silly thing to throw away a friendship.
Right. Because I didn't know our friendship was based on politics.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of people too will say, why you should leave your husband because of his politics.
Right.
But I didn't marry Bobby because of his politics.
Right.
It wasn't what drew me to him.
Right.
It was never part of our relationship.
Well, listen, Cheryl Hines, the book, which is coming out 11/11, is called
Unscripted.
Unscripted.
Yes.
And you're finally going out and settling scores. You're punching back. And you're really giving it to the people that have given it to you.
You know what?
It's a nonstop attack. And you're just throwing haymakers at these people. And good for you.
You know what? I'm just saying, a lot of people assume I think this way, or I've done this, or I've done that. And in the book, I'm just clear about, here's what happened. Here's who I am. And
because you have a lot of liberal points of view.
I do.
So do I.
Yes, I know.
Right. And so, people get mad at me.
Right. Just for
all the time.
Well, yeah, because you think that people would look at sort of issue by issue, concern by concern, and say, wow, I do agree with that. I'm glad the hostages were released. That's amazing.
Which hostages? The ones in Israel. Yes, I'm for that.
Yes, Israel and Gaza. And
I'm for all of it. Release them all.
Yes, and you would have thought that.
Let's all do a Christmas party in Israel and Gaza. Right?
Right, okay.
Christmas, let's all get together for Christmas.
So you would have thought that everybody would be happy about that. But because some people, they're not going by issue by issue.
They're making it about them.
Yeah.
They go, oh, it's about me.
Yeah.
It's not about you. It's about a hostage.
Yeah, it's about a hostage.
That's coming home to their family.
To their family. So you can't for one moment take that in?
I think they should. Cheryl Hines, the book is unscripted.
Thank you.
You are hilarious. We love you, and we wish you success with this book.
Thank you. Thank you.
And release the hostage. Are there any still left?
No.
Release the hostages. All over the world.
I agree.
All over the world, release the hostages. Have the decency to just do it. Do it on the day her book comes out.
11/11.
And Sudan, cut it out, whatever you're doing. All right, Cheryl Hines, thank you.
Thank you, Tim.
Oh my God, trying to make progress with my finances has been a real problem. That's why I'm using Chime. Chime understands that every dollar counts. That's why when you set up a direct deposit through Chime, you get access to fee-free features like overdraft coverage, getting paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit, and more. Chime is banking done right. Open a checking account with no monthly fees and no maintenance fees. Get paid up to 2 days early when you set up direct deposit. With qualifying direct deposits, you're eligible for free overdraft up to $200 on debit card purchases and cash withdrawals. To date, Chime has spotted members over $30 billion. Open a checking account with no monthly fees, no maintenance, not to mention access to over 47,000 fee-free ATMs, more than the top three national banks combined. I mean, Chime is the best. The Chime features I love most, I love getting paid 2 days early with direct deposit. 24/7 customer support comes in hand because sometimes I'll have a question at 3 a.m. about my direct deposit. It's so amazing that they can answer it then. I'm working on my financial goals through Chime today, and I suggest you do as well. Open an account in 2 minutes at chime.com/Tim. That's chime.com/Tim. Chime feels like progress.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient unlocked. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it, heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.